I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. The Pentagon is following through on its promise to quickly investigate that infamous video, the one of four Marines apparently urinating on dead Taliban fighters. Today, the Marine Corps officially named a lead investigative officer in the case, and all four Marines seen in the video have now reportedly been identified. U.S. officials, including Defense Secretary Leon Panetta, are worried that anger over the incident could undermine the U.S. military effort in Afghanistan. Fawzia Kofi, a member of the Afghan parliament, is worried too.
Already the Taliban and the terrorism links to Taliban are looking for an excuse to use against international forces in Afghanistan. This could be a good propaganda means.
A swift U.S. investigation could help counter the negative image created by the incident. But the Afghan government wants more than that, according to Afghan Foreign Ministry spokesman Janan Mosazai.
Our expectation is that our American allies will conduct a thorough investigation into this incident and punish all of those soldiers found to have been part of this reprehensible crime, and that they will be punished accordingly.
So what sort of legal charges could the four Marines involved be facing? Morris Davis is a retired Air Force colonel. He served as chief prosecutor at the U.S. prison at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, from 2005 to 2007. He resigned from that post in 2008 and now teaches at Howard University School of Law. Colonel Davis, Article 15 of the First Geneva Convention of 1864 prohibits the deliberate mistreatment of a body on the battlefield. It appears that in this particular case in Afghanistan, these soldiers did not abide by the Geneva Convention. Would that be where the legal case starts?
It could, but if you recall, when we started the war in Afghanistan, the Bush administration said the Geneva Conventions didn't apply. The Supreme Court disagreed in the Hamdan decision, said Common Article 3 applies, but regardless, customary international humanitarian law recognizes that mistreating a corpse is prohibited.
And what are the guidelines for how you treat corpses in battle?
Well, there aren't detailed specific guidelines other than the Geneva Conventions talk about showing respect for the treatment of a dead body. I mean, there's certain things you would assume don't need to be written down for most reasonable human beings to understand you don't do. And certainly the behavior depicted in the video falls well below that standard.
This is not the first time we've heard of such an instance in Afghanistan. It also happened in Iraq. I'm also reminded of stories of American soldiers in Vietnam taking body parts as souvenirs. Can you help us understand how the generally accepted rules of war can fall by the wayside on the battlefield when it comes to the dead?
I know some people have a hard time grasping that there are rules that apply to war. I mean, I think some people assume if the situation has reached a point where war is broken out, that it's anything goes. And that's one of the arguments you hear now is look at how the Taliban behaves, but we don't gauge our conduct by the conduct of our adversaries. And there are certainly, as you mentioned, exceptions from Iraq and from Vietnam and from World War II. But that doesn't change the fact of the matter that we pride ourselves, the military, on our professionalism and living up to a higher standard than our adversaries.
How psychically difficult do you think it is to treat the dead with respect when you're in the midst of war and there's bullets flying all over? Is it too much to ask of troops?
I don't think it is. I mean, I think it's just basic human dignity not to mistreat the dead. I mean, the law of war permits conduct that in normal circumstances would not be permitted. For instance, killing. But once the enemy is no longer capable of fighting, whether they're sick, wounded, captured, or killed, then you lose the right to do things that you ordinarily couldn't do. And certainly in this video, if it is what it appears to be, then our soldiers, their conduct fell below the standards that are acceptable.
Colonel Davis, when the rules of war are not followed, where do you place the blame? On the troops themselves, or is this a leadership problem?
Well, I think accountability and responsibility should be throughout the process. I mean, certainly there's no excusing what's depicted in the video. So that's kind of the bottom of the pyramid. But at the top of the pyramid, you know, when we started out this war in Afghanistan, the Bush administration said the Geneva Conventions were quaint and didn't apply. It was basically take the gloves off and anything goes. So there should be some accountability at the top, too, for creating this atmosphere that allows this kind of behavior to occur. I mean, it's certainly a lack of leadership to create an environment where any troop would think that this kind of behavior is acceptable for a member of the U.S. Armed Forces.
It sounds like you take it back to that statement from the Bush administration that the Geneva Conventions don't apply. Do you think things started there?
Without a doubt in my mind. You know, America for 200 years, we viewed ourselves as the city on the hill that others should emulate and live up to. We still serve it as an example, but often we serve as a bad example, not a good one. So I think in this instance, the Pentagon is taking it seriously. I think the people will be held accountable, and hopefully this kind of behavior will continue to be the very rare exception and not the rule.
Retired Air Force Colonel Morris Davis recently served as executive director of the Crimes of War Education Project in Washington, D.C., where he worked to enhance global public awareness of international humanitarian law and to highlight violations of the laws of war. He's currently teaching at Howard University School of Law. Colonel Davis, thank you very much for your point of view.
Thank you.